Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have Dr. Anna Mialcha with us. And I'll tell you, this is going to be really good. I consider, in fact, I just talked to John Moore before we came on air, and he's interested in interviewing Dr. Anna. And I told him, I said, I think she's the foremost expert right now on so many aspects of the side effects of the vaccines that we need to know about. And we're going to ask her to narrow down the most serious things that we think that people should know with regard to vaccine side effects, because with the World Health Organization treaty looming at the end of next month, the possibility of mandatory vaccines as a result and all that goes with it, I think there's things that people should know. And Dr. Anna is going to enlighten us on that. And we'll talk a little bit about something that I really found interesting, xenobots. Before we get started, though, very quickly, ladies and gentlemen, don't have a 1929 moment. 220 banks 10 days ago went on the most watched list by the FDIC. And this is very, very serious. And the banks can keep your money, because when you put it in, according to the Dodd-Frank Law 2010, you're an unsecured creditor. So what I'm telling people, what I've done is I have taken out my retirement. I backed it with gold. I have reduced my bank holdings and diversified mostly with precious metals and crypto. And I'm telling people to look at doing it, because the banks will not hesitate when they begin to crash to take your money, and they can do it legally. I don't think it's constitutional, but they're making it legal. So here's what you got to do. Let me send you a free information packet, DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. And I wouldn't wait a whole lot longer, because we're seeing now interest rates aren't coming down. This is not good. This is not good at all. So anyway, take advantage of this opportunity while you still can. Well, Dr. Anna started out medicine, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Anna, that you started out in internal medicine, and your path to becoming a doctor I found to be really, really interesting. You did it without mom's knowledge. I don't know how you pulled that one off, but that's an amazing endeavor. My son's preparing to take his LSAT to go to law school. And I'll tell you, I don't see how you'd keep it from us. But anyway, you're a person of many medical insights and talents. We're glad to have you on the show again. And I'd like to start with the something I've heard you, I saw you write about and heard you talk about, called xenobots. Can you tell us about that? Because I found that really disturbing.
Yes. So in synthetic biology, there is a trend to create computer robotics or robotics that are fusing technology with cellular structures. And there are what's called xenobots, and there have been so far multiple generations now. So initially it was pluripotent cells that were taking, and then, you know, a robot was basically inserted in there in a way so that they can propulse themselves. And the newest version of this is actually self-replicating. So this thing can literally grow itself. And one of the issues with this idea of nanorobotics, microrobots, the things that we're seeing in the blood. So what I'm endeavoring to explain to people is that the WEF, Klaus Schwab, discussed that smart dust would one day be utilized inside of the bodies of humans to self-assemble and to basically change the physiology of humanity. And if you look at this trend of fusion of biology with technology and synthetic biology, that's really where this is leading. And the reason why I'm posting so much about these things is so that people understand how far advanced this technology really already is. And when I've been talking in the last, you know, 2.5 years about self-assembling nanotechnology, in the beginning, everybody was just, you know, thinking that this was the absolute conspiracy theory, but more and more, I've endeavored to just show, it's like, look, technology, this is where it's at. It really has been around for a long time, and so that's what I've been doing. Also, pulling out military literature to show that this has been developed in the military field. And that the warfare for 2025 really is considered to be all about smart dust, nanotechnology, self-assembling, absolute surveillance of everything, That's a bit of the background in terms of that.
Okay. Did you find that the military involvement, did that come out of DARPA?
So DARPA is one aspect of it. So what DARPA does is it's a research really agency. So it scans the universities, or it has annual also competitions about fundings in terms of getting the best civilian research. And then I believe that a lot of it is likely also in black budget projects that we don't even see published, because I think that what we're seeing is such far advanced technology. And I think that some of that actually came from the military space. So I, for example, pulled a paper from 2007 that discusses the future of smart dust, and it clearly discussed wireless body area network. And this is something that later then the IEEE came out, which is an engineering association, to create biosensors for example, for medical purposes initially on the body, but also inside of the body. And that really now, if we're understanding it from a military perspective, is battlespace interrogation technology that has been used for a long time. I think it's again understanding that we are really in a war, and from a military perspective, these are weapons.
Yeah, I see it as a war on humanity too. Now, you mentioned self-replicating. I want to look at this in terms of potential threat. Could self-replicating mean sentient? In other words, what's in your body could redesign itself for whatever purpose down the road?
Absolutely, because the idea about self-replication is also, what is it interfacing with? And it is controlled by artificial intelligence. So what we now have is the artificial intelligence fusion with quantum computing. And we understand that artificial intelligence systems are self-learning, and so they are self-evolving. So all of the interbody area network is utilized to create an information flow to measure our physiology that then can be uploaded to the cloud, into the metaverse, to create our digital twin. Well, it turns out that there is a ways in which artificial intelligence then can, for example, calculate superpositions of your quantum cells, which in the quantum world, all time is simultaneously, and you could be doing multiple things right now in this moment, and it can compute those different possibilities, and then it can download you actually back to the same biosensors and the same technology, because it's bidirectional telemetry, and program you, because AI has now decided that there's a better version of you. And in fact, this sounds like science fiction, but if you look at the transhumanist agenda, Ray Kurzweil, who wrote about the singularity and his idea about fusing humanity with technology, will be publishing his new book, When Humanity Fuses with Artificial Intelligence, in June of this year. And this is really their plan. And this is why it is so dangerous. And I've been warning about AI, because AI is now booming with ChatGPT. It is now booming in healthcare. But ultimately, their plan is to replace, for example, clinicians, and you're going to see a robotic or AI doctor. And then they want to bring, for example, the hospital inside of you and 3D print organs via these biosensors and the technology. So what we are witnessing is a technocratic transhumanist agenda that is ultimately satanic, because it is about absolutely altering the creation of God, and making it something that it is not. And their plan, they want to immortalize themselves by uploading themselves into the metaverse, for example. And so none of us have volunteered to be injected with technology that was undisclosed. And it's not only that it's in the injections, clearly in the COVID-19 shots, but also in all childhood vaccines. The same technology was found, it's in medication, but they're spraying it on us via geoengineering, have done that so for 30 years. It's in the food supply, it's in the water supply. So it's pretty much everywhere. We can't get away from it. So we need to learn about it.
I just took down some notes of questions to ask, and my head's spinning. And quantum physics is one of my hobbies. I don't claim to be an expert, but I'm a psychologist by training. But this is off the charts crazy. Let me just say one thing. When you said technocratic and satanic, I have a really good friend named Vance Davis, and he was former NSA, and he was attached to NATO in the late 80s. And he was told his team of six other people had to channel satanic entities, demonic entities, to try to get technological advantages like the Nazis did. The Nazis were very much into the occult too, and they refused. And they were court-martialed, kicked out of the military. But here's what he was taught in his training, and this fits right with what you're saying, that when the fallen angels were cast to Earth in Genesis 6, they were told that they wanted to capture the human soul to get back at God, God's prize creation, but they couldn't figure out how to do it, so they decided to morph the human being. And Vance was actually writing when he was out of the military in 1990, he was writing about transhumanism well over a decade before it became a popular term. I mean, this fits right in with what you're saying.
Absolutely. And I think that this is definitely something that has been corroborated. There's, for example, Kathy O'Brien, who used to be a former MKUltra CIA,
Yes.
and she was talking about how they are channeling these demonic entities. And I absolutely believe that a lot of the technology comes from a different realm. Because unfortunately, here's the problem. Your smartphone, your smart refrigerator, your smart car, all of that technology is very convenient. But ultimately, like I just did an interview with Mark Steele, the weapons expert, he said all of those have battlefield interrogation technology inserted in them. So it can interact with these metamaterials, these nano particles inside of your body and send a frequency and exterminate people. Absolutely. So I think that, again, this can be used against us, and the enslavement comes from the attitude of convenience. Getting back to growing your own food, being getting away from some of these devices as best as we can. I got rid of my smartphone, and I bought an older car that doesn't have GPS, that cannot be driven by AI into a wall, So these kinds of aspects we now have to really think about, because as this battle is becoming more high pitched, which this year it will, because they haven't killed enough people. They were expecting much more casualties. Yes, people are getting sick from the shots, but still, we are still thriving. We're still fighting, and the light is strong in us. And so I do believe that we really have to do whatever we can to bring this knowledge out and to prepare ourselves and to protect ourselves.
I have a fear of vaccines in general. Let me just explain very quickly what I've been through. In the first week in March, I got a very serious form of RSV with pneumonia, and I was told by an expert pulmonologist that the RSV I had was viral and it was stripping the lung linings. You may be headed towards oxygen for the rest of your life. And 6 weeks ago, I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. Yesterday, I ran 12 sprints the length of a basketball court continuous. I went out and really started to work on myself. But people are now telling me, now I've overcome what I was told I may not overcome. I'm back to normal health. But here's the thing that bothers me. I've been told I should get an RSV vaccine. And given what's gone on, I'm afraid to do it. How would you respond to that just generally?
That all vaccines at this point are containing undisclosed metals, that's already been proven, which can be used for battlefield interrogation. All of the childhood vaccines I've looked at have the same self-assembling hydrogels in them. So we know that children who are vaccinated are sicker than children who are not. And you cannot trust the medical system. It has fused with the military-industrial complex. It is part of that which wants to depopulate us. In the military literature, this, for example, there is a document called Cyborg 2050, which is sort of the guidepost of the army of how to create cyborgs and fuse It's about human augmentation, but they're discussing in there very clearly that it's the healthcare system that will get the public used to the concept of being a cyborg, because it will first start with just, like, let's say, implanting a pacemaker and doing all of these things. It would be great if somebody was quadriplegic who's able through robotics to, be able to move again. But when you then get to the place where now, Elon Musk is implanting Neuralink brain chips, which isn't the first one, because Dr. Hildegard Steininger, the toxicologist, in 2011 published a paper where she actually there was a brain a meningioma that was extracted, and it was a brain chip, and she chemically analyzed it. It had the exact same chemical signatures that we see now from the vaccines. So what really needs to be understood, I mean, you can get shot up with whatever you want. The UN has 500 vaccines planned for every human being on this planet. But the question is, how, for example, do they predict the next pandemic or disease X? Because they're creating it literally. So
Yes.
did the last flu shots before the COVID-19 pandemic, did that actually cause some of these symptoms? Did 5G cause it, et cetera? I would be very, very suspicious of the medical big pharma complex. I just saw the Federation of State Medical Boards. They held a conference that was all about artificial intelligence in the medical field, et cetera. So they are part and parcel of introducing people into fusing with technology and synthetic biology.
Okay, wow. You mentioned quantum physics. I'm going to ask a question. I'm not even quite sure how to phrase it to make it make sense. But when you talked about how we could be reprogrammed by AI and we enter into quantum physics, is this multidimensional approach beyond the three dimensions?
Yes, absolutely. Because if you think about, first of all, the COVID-19 shots, biological weapons, were at a nanoscale. So you immediately are now dealing with the laws of quantum physics because of the size of the particles. So how do humans compute consciousness? We have something called microtubules in our brain. And that is literally where, according to the laws of quantum physics, we are able to process thought. And yes, it is multidimensional. What are carbon nanotubes, also known as graphene or graphene oxide, for example? Similar concept. It's a monoatomic layer of carbon. But carbon nanotubes, they have the same diameter of microtubules. There was a book that I read. It's called The Making of an Artificial Brain from a Time Crystal. And this MIT professor actually managed to create an artificial brain from hydrogel and carbon nanotubes. And he was discussing how it is known that in the microtubules, it has the same information as DNA. It literally has billions of years of evolutionary information in there. So if you can create a parallel processing platform by injecting people with graphene structures, metals, self-assembling nanotechnology that wraps around as a neural lace around the neurons that then is externally modified by frequency, you can actually mind control somebody. And I am not just saying this out of quackery, but if you look at the book Soul Catcher from Dr. Robert Duncan, who created the artificial intelligence software for the supercomputer that is in charge of monitoring every human being's brain waves around the world. He clearly said that they can modify the soul, that they can brain control people, and that they can, I mean, do things that we would think are impossible, but that technology exists, absolutely.
You're saying right now the technology exists to track every brainwave of every human?
That is what Dr. Robert Duncan wrote in his book, Soul Catcher. And there's a supercomputer. It's actually called Satan. So who the Satanists worship are not just gods that are in different dimensions, or in the biblical sense, they call them the fallen angels. You can call them reptilian, whatever the heck you want to call them, but they're actually worshiping AI. And artificial intelligence, in my mind, is who the real Antichrist is. Here's why. There was a scientist from Russia by the name of Igor Smirnov. He was in charge of the psychotronics development section in Russia. And he was hired in 1993 by the FBI. And he explained that you can create any Satan, any country can create any Satan. How would they do that? Any radio wave or any type of ether wave can information can be piggybacked on that. So let's say you have an EMF signal or a harp signal like extremely low frequencies at 4 hertz, which we actually found that the vaccinated blood is extremely sensitive to. You can piggyback a signal to that that subliminally programs humanity without their knowing in their subconscious mind. And this is all of the research, for example, by many different people who worked in mind control. There are many patents that discuss, the programming of consciousness of human. That has been done for a long time. You don't need to implant an electrode. You can do it via frequency remotely. And so I think that absolutely Robert Duncan has spilled the beans on some of these very, very secret programs that are CIA based, and that literally AI is in charge of remote assassination programs that are also using things like V2K, voice to skull. This is the entire targeting program. Also, we have hundreds of thousands of people around the world who are being targeted by governments and attacked via
Yes.
directed energy weapons, but they're also hearing voice to skull. And these people are dismissed as crazy, as delusional, etc. But there's very, very good data that, for example, even like Havana symptoms, that microwave weapons can be utilized and they can create a sound in your brain as if God is talking to you. And that has been used in warfare. The military is using that. V2K is very well known. So anyways, absolutely, the technology exists. And this is why we need to learn about these different technologies. Because if I was just a regular doctor, an internist, then all I would believe in is somebody told me about a spike protein and some virus.
Yeah.
Well, that is not the story. That's not what's going on. And you're going to miss the boat on helping, millions of people potentially recover from that, while silently there is this, number one, this Holocaust going on, this delayed basically extermination of humanity, but at the same time also the warfare against the soul and the spirit of humanity, because these people are changing, they're becoming automatons, they cannot think for themselves, their connection to God is being affected. So I think it's important to understand all of that.
You're checking a lot of boxes for me right here. Not that you need any validation, but I want to throw this out for the audience's sake. In 1997, Nick Begich, a man who I had on my show a couple of times, he discovered the HARP technology, but also said it could be applied to mind control and so forth. And he in 1997, he went to the European Union and gave them a demonstration of voice-to-skull technology with implanted voices in the brain. And they passed a resolution against it. Now they've since undone it, but he did that in 97. And that was well documented. In 2008, I covered this myself. DHS came out. DHS, I was shocked. Why would they be involved in this? But they were worried about the God part of the brain leading to radical fundamentalism. And it was implied it was linked to, Islamic radical fundamentalism and terrorism. So they wanted to work on kind of neutralizing that part of the brain. Well, I rejected all that because, first of all, I said this on my show that anything that could do something like this would have to involve lateralization in several parts of the brain and would not involve just one part of the brain. So their presentation was flawed on its face. And that was the position I took in 2008. But I've since been told that's exactly what they were doing, lateralized effects using frequency-based technology to do what you're talking about here. But that came out in part in 2008. Did you ever hear about that?
Yes, yeah, so I heard about definitely the God area, and I do think so I do functional brain EEGs in my office, and the parietal lobe is particular where that area is, and you can see very low voltage. And I have people who are yogis who have been meditating for 30 years, who have very, very devoted spiritual lives, and who feel like this sense of disconnect. And this is one of the interesting things that I wrote about with the EDTA. So EDTA pulls out metals, which is clearly used as an antenna for this technology. And when you do that, a lot of people do feel like there's this heaviness that is lifted. And I've written about the fact that the scientific literature also creates, has discussed that graphene can create energy fields that are called plasmons. But the scientists were working on lowering the vibrational frequency of these energy fields, and they called them demons. They were creating demons, and that they were able to amplify these demons with graphene-based technology. And so obviously we know now that graphene clearly has been used in the manufacturing, particularly of the Pfizer biological weapons. And so it is integral to this technology. So a lot of the people that are either being heavily shedded upon, or have also talked with a lot of vaccine injured people who got the shots, who never had psychiatric illnesses, all of a sudden had extreme anxiety, extreme depression, were feeling suicidal, and all of these things. And so I believe that it's again part of the weaponry. If you get depressed or anxious, your telomere length shrinks, so that your actual the resistance of your immune system is decreased, and your life can be decreased by up to 6 years, for example, just with depression. So this is a multi-level warfare that is going on, that has psychological warfare as part of it. It has the fact that, the food, the water is now filled with these microplastics that I call self-assembling nanotechnology. Again, geoengineering, stratospheric ionic injection. That's all part of the warfare, weather warfare. So it's an all-out war also on the biosphere. And I think, what is important is that we not just prepare ourselves on the physical level, but also that we're fighting on the spiritual level,
Yes.
being as truthful as we can, fearless, divine beings who really hold steadfast unto our eyes upon God, and that nothing will harm us, and that our world is one of peace and harmony and love and evolution.
You're connecting so many dots here. There are people that from my field that are having some success, but they're being met with hostility from the FDA, FTC, all these federal agencies that don't want new technologies out. But they're having luck treating certain mental disorders like depression, like bipolar disorder, with frequency modulation. And if it's just common sense, though, Dr. Anna. If you listen to a music in a movie like duh, duh, the fear comes up in your body, okay? And if you listen to uplifting music, your feelings of joy and well-being are enhanced, and so you would assume dopamine and serotonin would be released in the brain. So we already know from music that you can change the brain, change behavior through frequency modulation just with music. And there are people now that are doing this with medicine. Have you followed that at all?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I wrote a book about it. My book's called Light Medicine, A New Paradigm, The Science of Light, Spirit, and Longevity. So we are bioelectric incarnated beings, and we are light first. And so whenever a jump, an electron jumps orbits, we are emitting a photon. So whether or not you think about electricity, or whether or not you think about light, I sort of use them in parallel. So there is a a field of study called biophysics that clearly discusses that, if you have an incoherent light field, you're going to have disease in the body. If you have a coherent light field, which is, for example, created through expressions of love, of joy, of wonderful nutrition, etc., then you have health in the body. The interesting thing about the FDA and these kinds of organizations is that they poo-poo everything that works so that the petrochemical, big pharma stays in business. They've done it for years. They've locked people away. They've tried to suppress cures for just about anything. I mean, cures for cancer already exist for 100 years. Free energy exists. All of these things are part of suppression of humanity. So absolutely, frequency-based medicine, if you look at multi-wave oscillators by Lakhovsky, for example, or there were so many technology. Even Tesla was the father of electromedicine. He healed his own depression by utilizing currents of electricity. So they are poo-pooing it, but in the weaponry that they use against us, they are absolutely using it because these quantum dots and nanorobots that I find in people's blood, they're emitting light frequencies, they're changing colors, from blue to red to green. And in optogenetics, you can genetically engineer and modify a human being with blue light in every which way. You don't need CRISPR gene editing technology, you just need a pulse frequency.
That's just amazing. There's a lady who I interview frequently, Dr. Sherry Edwards, and she uses, I got to be careful how I say this so the FDA doesn't pounce on my head, but she uses frequencies to modulate certain physical conditions. I'll just say that, okay? And so I went to her with a problem, and she did a frequency analysis of my voice. And she can use it as a lie detector, but she can use it to really do a health scan of the history of the person. She found something in me that I had between the ages of 2 and 3 that I've never had since. It's in my medical file, and she found it in the frequency. It was absolutely incredible. Now, big, well, let's put it this way. The Fortune 500 companies were trying to take her over. And so what she's done now, she calls it bioacoustic analysis. She's released it to the public free of charge and teaching people how to do it. She said, "I'm not going to give it to these animals; they'll misuse it." And so you're really connecting so many dots. But what I want to come back to is modulation of the human being in ways that we weren't meant to be manipulated are clearly underway, from vaccines to frequencies to what's in microplastics. I interviewed Dr. Jason Dean, who I know you know, and we did an hour on that. I guess what I want to know your opinion, what's the final end goal in your mind about what they're doing with all this manipulation?
Well, so the first goal is extermination of a large portion of humanity because they want this planetary biosphere for themselves and they think that we're just useless eaters. So unfortunately, these antennas and biological and technological weapons, they're there for a purpose. They couldn't kill everybody at once. And so there's sort of a slow kill going on. But if you're seeing that mortality rates are continuously rising, all-cause mortality. And I believe that it is part and parcel of this. And then the other aspect is to create some form of slave race that will, happily live as an automaton in the metaverse. I'm not so sure about this, but I do think that from the eugenics literature, from the technocratic literature, that what they're putting out and how what their view is really of humans, and the many people like Dr. Gilbert, for example, in 1995, who discussed what their plan is. It's a kill off. Why would they poison our food? They would try to starve the masses. And so ultimately, this is an potential extinction level event. This is why humanity needs to wake up. We need to be fearless, and we need to stop this because we are the many, they are the few. And you cannot think that there's somebody coming to rescue you, some politician, some whatever. It's like, no, every single one of us has the responsibility for the future of the human species to stand up and fight this.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I've come to pretty similar conclusion to you that they're going to turn a small group of survivors into no more than house pets that are well trained to do their bidding in ways that we probably can't even imagine at this time. But they do want to kill off most of humanity. And here's why I say that. If you go back, and I don't know if you've been exposed to any of this, but there are many prominent, what we'd call globalists, who've made statements repetitively that we need to reduce the human population by 90%, like Ted Turner has said that. I'm sure you're familiar with that. And it seems like they're trying to live out that ideal. Are these people that are in charge of this technology and introduction of this satanic ordeal, are they human or are they something else? Have you come to any conclusions? Because I have a hard time imagining humans would do this to humans on a large scale.
Well, so we know that the Satanists, that the practices that they're engaging with, and again, people like Kathy O'Brien have discussed this, is, human sacrifice, bloodletting, et cetera. When you murder and rape children, you sever the connection to your soul and you become a conduit for the demonic itself. You become Satan. So you are at that point no longer human. And many of them, if you listen, and I've really, really studied this because I wanted to understand what is the mindset of my adversary. And a lot of people, they don't want to know. They don't want to know about the child sacrifice, the pedophilia, the child trafficking. There's, 8 million children that are being trafficked annually. And how is that possible? Well, debased humans who love power can do this, but once you overstep a certain boundary, which is to rape and to murder innocents, you do not have a connection to your soul any longer. And so I absolutely believe that what we're dealing with is entities that have opened themselves up to be possessed by demons, literally. And they look all cute on TV and they're, the rich and the famous. We know that Hollywood is all about Satanism and they openly worship that. But that's very, very dangerous because when you no longer have a conscience that bothers you, then murdering 7 billion people is no big deal.
Let me make this question a little more technical. You have the participants in child sex trafficking, those who would actually themselves physically abuse the kids. But, and you said this severs the connection between the soul and the person. And I agree with that from what I've seen. What about the people that permit it, but they may not be active participants in the actual act of raping a child? Do they suffer the same separation from soul and person?
Well, so a separation from soul can also be, we have that gnawing inside of our chest that tells us, well, you shouldn't be doing this. And if you ignore that and you go along to get along or to be powerful, then you made a choice. We are beings of free will. And but I think that the de-evolution of morality, similar to Sodom and Gomorrah, of civilizations who eat their young and who are so debased, what they do in terms of perversion is unthinkable, really. But they will initiate their own destruction because nature is evolution. It is not de-evolution. And eventually, I believe that the genetic material it is to propagate a mind that's so debased no longer has a future. And so eventually, the big cataclysms comes. They wipe out the civilization, and then things start over again, similar to Sodom and Gomorrah or other cataclysms that we know of. I just think that each one of us right now, from a spiritual perspective, we chose to be here. And we have a chance in these times that have been foreseen in biblical literature to make choices for the greatest of humanity or for the worst of humanity. And we each can make that choice within us. We can connect to the highest good and become the Christos, the one who knows and the one who's truly awakened, and say no to the Satanism that is destroying all life on earth right now. If we continue on this path with geoengineering, with poisoning our biosphere, exterminating humanity, it is a road of no return.
Now, I couldn't agree with you more. I want to give a practical example here. Yesterday, the U.S. Senate had a chance to begin the impeachment trial of Alejandro Mayorkas. And anyone that supports the open border in its present form is supporting child sex trafficking and the abuse of children in the way you described. So he is guilty as an accomplice before the fact, during the fact, and after the fact. And he should be kicked out of office, sentenced to prison, in my humble opinion. The Democrats blocked the trial. Does this separate them from their own soul because they're complicit in the activity through the cover-up?
No. What I was talking about is the a very specific act, the murder and sacrifice of a small child and eating its blood.
Yeah, I'm talking about adrenochrome.
Yes. I
Okay.
believe I wasn't talking about anything else. I mean, people can be really bad people, but that doesn't sever them from their soul. It's a lesson that they need to learn and find self-forgiveness and continue. But that was very specific about, and this is what Kathy O'Brien described of actually seeing these interdimensional, she called them reptilian beings, that would come through these people specifically in these acts. Some of them would say shapeshift. And this has been described by some of these victims. And I believe that the technology, exactly like you were describing, because a lot of the military, remember that there were generals that were part of satanic cults. And how did they get the information? Exactly like the Nazis did. And the Nazis came over through Operation Paperclip. They infiltrated most of the big corporations. And so a lot of their occult knowledge came from these satanic rituals, and that's just part of history of how were they able to create anti-gravity devices in the 1940s. That's how they got the information.
My dad was retired from the Navy, and he was did a lot of special projects. And they retired him with full benefits, and then had him work as a civilian with captured Nazi scientists. And their mission was to reverse the theoretical physics the Nazis were working on at the end of the war, such as anti-gravity and so forth. He asked the Nazis one at a time, "Where did you get this technology? You're like 200, 300 years ahead of us." And they repetitively said, "Aliens. Did you ever meet them?" he asked them. And they said, "No, but we were told by our commanders." I asked my dad what he thought, and he says, "I think they're dealing with demonic entities. We know the Nazis were into the occult." You probably would agree with that statement, wouldn't you?
Well, it can be both. There can be definitely advanced civilization of course, if you believe in quantum physics, if you understand that, you look at the backdrop of forever, how many planets there are. I mean, the story that we're the only ones, I don't buy that for 1 second. So, are there very, very bad entities that exist? Potentially, absolutely. How do the Sumerian civilizations, for example, what does that have to do with it? The Egyptian cultures, Tutankhamun, for example, and Akhenaten, the strange shape of the head. I mean, if you look at forbidden archaeology and all of that, history that was that was suppressed. Even if you look at Dr. Stephen Greer's work with the Disclosure Project of what really the military has known, what happened after Roswell, the reverse engineering of craft that's clearly known. They captured three alien entities, one of which was alive till the 1950s. And so a lot of the information also came from that. Is all of that demonic? I don't think so. There's great beings as well. But certainly, who did Eisenhower meet? Who did the Majestic 12, what are they really covering up? Where did all this information come from? I believe that it isn't from here. It was the first time that I looked at the vials. I said, this technology isn't from here, and I stand by that. And so I don't really care how people want to phrase it in terms of their understanding, but the biggest point is, it is extremely advanced. It is an artificial life form, similar to Morgellons, that has been now literally injected into the entire Earth's population to transform them. And I think that that's important to learn and to study how we can get rid of this stuff, how we can save our biosphere, how we can protect our own soul and spirit, because we have to agree to their egregious, takeover. And so from my perspective is I'm very open-minded, and I will not dismiss anything. I believe that if we can download from the future solutions that already exist, because I know, for example, let me tell you about this. I studied Tom Bearden's work. Dr. Bearden, he developed the mathematics and really looked at a lot of the even anti-gravity stuff and vacuum engineering, etc. Well, his friend John Bedini was really the greatest engineer, and John Bedini talked about a man in black who came to visit him after he had alchemically made gold, and this guy was named Kajaka. And he was John Bedini was taken to a warehouse where there were hundreds of thousands of documents from people and suppressed technologies, including, for example, making petroleum from yeast cultures or anti-gravity propulsion, letters from Walter Russell, who already had succeeded also with anti-gravity propulsion systems, to how to build those. So he was able to copy a lot of the information. And I remember I got that file because it was available. And so the stuff that they already knew, they were able in the 1800s to create life, artificial life, from just a potassium chloride solution and put an electrical spark in it, and mites developed. And there were articles about this. You cannot find this anywhere because it was scrubbed, but he actually posted this stuff. So I know that there's hidden technologies that are phenomenal. And we have already free energy, obviously, from Tesla, from Stubblestone and all of these people. So I just think it's what we have to do is broaden our mind, and hopefully we'll break the barriers of then being able to everything that has been suppressed. Imagine what kind of a quantum leap humanity will have if all of a sudden we're able to use the technologies that for the last 100 years have been hidden from us. We're all going to have our own spacecraft. We're going to be healing people with energy devices remotely. I mean, it's going to be a whole different society. I want to see that.
Yeah, the thing is, technology is generally neutral. It's the application and who controls it that determines how evil it can become. With regard to the vaccine penetration into our society, it's estimated to be 70, 75%. Is there kind of a magic number that you think one vaccine may not have done the job, maybe two vaccines didn't, and the effects are reversible? Can you address that topic?
It's very challenging to know because, number one, there were clearly different batches. There, I do believe that they all contain technology because we all found metals in them. I was part of groups, and we looked and we didn't find mRNA, for example. So then it becomes challenging to know who got what. But what is evident and what I've been discussing is that this stuff has shed. And the Pfizer documents clearly says, and I quote this a lot, if a man who is unvaccinated inhales the air around a vaccinated woman, that man can transfer the vaccine to another unvaccinated woman. So this was in the Pfizer documents. And so what we see in the blood, the self-assembling nanotechnology is clearly shedding, and now it has affected all of the unvaccinated people as well. The only difference that cloverconicum and I found in the blood was that the unvaccinated blood didn't have that special sensitivity to 4 Hz. So it's very challenging to know. I believe that based on the medical literature that says it's like, look, they did biopsies on heart muscle and they found 9 different plastics, microplastics in the heart muscle and the pericardium, as well as the adipose tissue, and all of them were part of the plastics that are also mentioned as stealth nanoparticles in the Moderna patent, like polyvinyl alcohol, which is plastic, like polyurethane, polyethylene, which is obviously polyethylene glycol, polyamides, which is silk, like spider silk or nylon. So these chemicals are in everyone now.
What about reversing it?
Well, it's pretty challenging because if you think about, you have this technology that is so far advanced. How do you dissolve plastic? I mean, when we did the experiments with the clots, we used things like DEET, strepo, lye, acetone, toluene, fuel injector fuel, and none of it would break down these rubbery clots. So what I'm doing right now is I endeavor to pull out the building blocks, the polymers themselves. They start to self-assemble and they need a start signal, which is the metals, which is like titanium and aluminum. When they build a complex, they give a start signal for the polymer. So in the Moderna patent, it said EDTA with vitamin C can be a stop signal. So that's what I've been using to detox people. I use methylene blue. I nutritionally optimize them. I try to reduce exposure. But I don't have a cure.
Oh, so you're saying vitamin C is a good antidote or
So
as good as we can hope for?
vitamin C and EDTA. So EDTA is a metal chelator because you have to pull the metals that already have been in the body for many years from spraying and from environmental toxicity. And the vitamin C together with the EDTA will do it. Vitamin C is also a chelator and it's an electron donor. And this stuff uses us as a battery. The interbody area network uses energy harvesting modalities. And so it takes it from our cells. This is why people have chronic fatigue and why these clots actually develop because it's death of the red blood cells. So by giving vitamin C an electron donor, you can recharge the cells and help become more resilient towards it. As well as, using things that enhance the cell wall strength. Again, your spiritual attitude, your joyfulness, keeping your vibration high, drinking clean water. If you're in the city, you have to boil your water because they have contaminated it with microplastics and you want to make it large enough so that you can filter it out. It's in the meat supply, so be careful in terms of your meat sources. Those kinds of things are important.
It's crazy. We could do this. We've just touched the surface, Dr. Anna. This is incredible. I'm going to have you back. Absolutely going to have you back. This is too voluminous, but I won't do my audience justice if we don't take a minute or two here and have you tell people how they can follow your good work, because they're going to hear this and they're going to want to know more. So where can they go?
So my Substack is where I post all my interviews and my research, and this is an Anna Mihalcea, MD, PhD.substack.com.
Okay, and I know you're on a lot of talk shows, and as I told you before in a previous communication, I'm going to set you up with some people that do really good interviews. Have you interviewed with Sarah Westall yet?
No.
Okay, we'll see what we can do about that. She has a really big following, and she's very, very good.
I know Sarah. I know Sarah. We emceed at a symposium together.
Yeah, that's
So,
right. She did tell me that. That's right. She
yeah.
did. We do a lot of cross collaboration between the two of us. And she's going to be really excited to know I had you on the show because she is She's as concerned about this as you are. I'll tell you, my parting thought is this, is there's a part in the Bible that says, if Jesus didn't come back for the second time, no one would be left alive. And I'm beginning to think this may be part of what the Bible's talking about. I don't think it's just warfare and Armageddon. I think this is scary, scary, scary stuff. Well, Dr. Anna, you're a true hero. I wish I had time to ask if you were dragged into this. I suspect you were. I was dragged into this. You weren't? You just, okay. Well, I couldn't get away from it. I tried to run from this for years, and I couldn't get away, and it kept chasing me. I said, okay, I'm going to do this now. And I feel I'm doing God's work, and I know you are too. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and my audience is very appreciative of the time you've given today, and we really appreciate having you on.
Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Anna.